Good evening. If you would, turn to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20, and we'll start our reading there. And let's break in at verse 12 of 2 Kings chapter 20. At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold, and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Let's turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. That gives us some background into what we'll be looking at tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Just one verse in this chapter. Verse 10. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 10. Now, it is in mine heart, and this is Hezekiah speaking. Now, it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. Over to chapter 31. Chapter 31, verse 21. And in every work that he, that is Hezekiah, verse 21 of chapter 31, and in every work that he, Hezekiah, began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Over to chapter 32. Chapter 32, verse 24. Chapter 32, verse 24. In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death, and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, that is, God spake unto Hezekiah, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 26, Notwithstanding Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Verse 31. Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him, Hezekiah, to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. There is much for the Christian to learn from the life and times of King Hezekiah. I believe the Christian, by observing Hezekiah, will learn things that God wants me to understand about myself, how my heart and how my mind operates, and what my heart and mind can produce, whether it be God honoring or God dishonoring. But not only this, but the corporate assembly will learn things about itself as well in such a study. This will come to light when we compare Hezekiah's experiences in the Old Testament with an assembly in the New Testament. Nevertheless, the Bible spends a great deal of time in dealing with this particular man's life. And this should alert us to the importance of this man's life to the Christian and to the instruction that Hezekiah's experience has for the child of God. The book of 2 Kings spends 3 chapters on Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles here spends 4 chapters on him. And the prophet Isaiah spends 4 chapters on him as well, principally regarding his dealings with Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. So in total, that is about 11 chapters given over to this man in the Scriptures. Now, Hezekiah was the son of Ahaz, who, as many of you probably know, was a wicked king who ruled Judah before his son Hezekiah took the throne. But Hezekiah did not follow in his father's footsteps, which, if it teaches us anything, it teaches us that God can overturn and overrule any man's background, whatever it might be, for his own glory. Environment can have its effect, but God's Spirit can and will overturn any man's environment, no matter what it may be. And beginning at the age of 25, Hezekiah reigned the next 29 years in Judah as their king. Now, the verse that we read in chapter 29 here, in verse 10 of this book, 2 Chronicles, has something important for us to see. You might just turn back there. Chapter 29 and verse 10, it says, "And Hezekiah said this. He said, now it is in mine heart. It is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel." Now, he said this in the first year of his reign. And at that time, he reopened the temple of God. He repaired it. He repaired the doors. He restored the furnishings. And he restored the worship of God from the idol worship that was rampant in Judah at that time. Now, there is an important lesson for God's people in verse 10 of chapter 29. Notice what he says. He said, "Now it is in mine heart." Now, we have talked much about the heart of late. And the question comes to mind, in Hezekiah's case, and in our case, we could ask, what can the heart produce? What can the heart produce? Well, it is clear from this passage that the heart can produce a willingness and a desire to please God. I think we understand this. Now, I do understand that that's a broad and a general statement. In our earlier studies, we have seen that all of God's people, both now and throughout biblical history, must learn to deal with their hearts to be able to please God. Now, we see this further in chapter verse 21 of chapter 31. And let's turn there. Verse 21 of chapter 31 that we read there. I need to turn to it myself to read it. "And in every work that he, Hezekiah, began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Now here we have some more amplification regarding Hezekiah's heart as a man. Firstly, as Christians, we must understand we are to seek God. We are to seek God. And my heart is very much involved in seeking God. Now, if I were to examine my heart and ask myself the question, am I seeking God? What would the answer be? First of all, do I even have the specific desire to do that? Well, only self-judgment of the heart before God will reveal and provoke a desire to seek after God. Now, the phrase following in this verse, you notice the phrase to seek his God. The phrase following that is followed by the phrase, he did it with all his heart. Now, that's simple enough, isn't it? It's a simple concept. But it is not easily accomplished by God's people. This is so because, first of all, the importance of my heart to God is either not understood by Christians, or if it is understood, the seeking heart is not dealt with by God's people. Now, what do I mean? Well, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says this. It says, keep, and that word keep means to guard. Keep, guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The term issues of life is interesting because that would indicate to me that all matters, all issues of my life are affected by my heart's condition. Does that make sense? So I must not only understand the importance of my heart, I must actively guard it and deal with it, Proverbs 4 says. But at any rate, Hezekiah at this time sought out God with all his heart. Now, we're going to see that like us, this was not always so with Hezekiah. And we shall see that when Hezekiah neglected his heart, it brought him a great deal of trouble and sorrow. And it certainly proves out the truth of Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, that when we do not guard our hearts, our issues of life can become very distressing. But even in this, God can use those distressing issues of life to bring our hearts back to Him. We have an amazing God. Now, we will see this particular phenomena with Hezekiah as well. Now, dear Christians, understand that God does His best work through the conflicts in our lives. God does His best work in the conflicts in our lives. But only if I will seek to understand what He is teaching me and bow my heart before Him. Well, let's look at verses 24 and 25 of chapter 32 there. Verses 24 and 25, let me read them again. In those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death. And he prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord spake unto him, and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him, and upon Judah and Israel. Now, to give us some background into these verses here in 2 Chronicles, we are told in 2 Kings that we read, verses 14 through 19 that we read there in 2 Kings 20, that the prophet Isaiah came to Hezekiah at a time of severe sickness. And he told Hezekiah that the Lord had instructed him, Isaiah, that Hezekiah was to die from this sickness. And Hezekiah had better get his house in order. But Hezekiah was not ready to die. So he prayed to God for an extension of life. And we read there in 2 Kings that the Lord heard his petition and extended his life for 15 more years. So the Lord in his sovereign grace gave him 15 more years. Now, you know, I've heard Christians say that they asked the Lord for 15 more years of life based on the experience of Hezekiah. I've had Christians tell me that. But we must understand the Lord himself determined the amount of time Hezekiah was given. Hezekiah didn't ask for 15 years. He asked for extension of life. The Lord gave him 15 years. Now, we're going to see later that Hezekiah would have brought more glory to God had he accepted his sickness and not asked for an extension of his life. This is so because Hezekiah let his heart wander from his God. Not only that, but his son Manasseh was born during that time, that 15-year extension, and he was a terribly wicked king for much of his life. And he was the first one to really initiate to any degree Baal worship in the southern kingdom of Judah. At any rate, in verse 24, the Lord gave Hezekiah a sign, a miracle, that he would extend his life. And that miracle consisted of reversing the shadow of the sun on the sundial by 10 degrees, a supernatural work indeed. And this too is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 20. Now, how did Hezekiah respond to the answer to prayer and God's mercy? How did he respond to that? Well, verse 25 tells us. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. Instead of taking advantage of the 15 years given to him and using it for God's glory, he let his heart stray from his God. It says in verse 25, for his heart was lifted up. Now here again, from 2 Kings chapter 20, we have recorded for us the explanation of this phrase here in verse 25. This phrase, for his heart was lifted up. It says in 2 Kings there that shortly after the Lord healed Hezekiah, the son of the king of Babylon sent ambassadors to him. And of course, these were the enemies of Israel, and they were the enemies of God. They were wicked men. But Hezekiah received them, and not only did he receive them, but he showed them all the riches and the wealth that God had blessed him with. And what is this? What is this? This is pride. Pride. Hezekiah wanted to show off all his great wealth, wealth which was given to him by the grace of God. So when we see this phrase in verse 25 here, for his heart was lifted up, we now understand the circumstances of it. But by way of instruction, we discover where pride, that is, being lifted up, where pride comes from. It comes from the heart. The heart. But in addition to all of this, Isaiah came to Hezekiah, and he told him that Babylon would come in a future day and take away all these riches that God had blessed him with. And not only that, he would take away his sons and they would become slaves in Babylon. But Hezekiah himself would be spared. How did Hezekiah respond to this? Well, it's recorded in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 19. that Hezekiah said this. He said, "Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days?" In other words, at least I will have peace in my days. Hezekiah was not grieved by the consequences of the things that he had done. He cared only for himself. Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? From verse 25 here, we learn that the heart can produce pride, and that should be no surprise to us. It says in verse 25, "For his heart was lifted up." But not only this, we learn from Hezekiah's response to the coming Babylonian judgment that we also see the heart can produce something else. It can produce selfishness. Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days, Hezekiah said. He cared not for Judah. He cared not for his children. Selfishness in the child of God is produced by a heart that has not been self-judged. Now understand that selfishness is a sad fruit of a neglected heart. What is sadder still is that it is not even recognized as being present by the child of God. Hezekiah certainly, obviously, was totally oblivious to this in his heart. Now, we do see from verse 26 that Hezekiah eventually dealt with his heart. Notice verse 26. "Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah." And we're going to talk more about this verse later. But now let's read verse 31. There's much that we can learn here about how God deals with his children in verse 31. It is a pivotal verse in the entire book of 2 Chronicles. Okay, verse 31. "Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who came unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart." Now, dear ones, this is God's way with us. This verse is not teaching that God did not know Hezekiah's heart or how Hezekiah would respond. God's sovereignty and his omniscience would make that impossible, you see. God already knew Hezekiah's heart. So what does it mean here when it says that God tried him so that he might know all that was in his heart? Well, God knew what was in Hezekiah's heart before, during, and after all these things. But here is the truth of it. God tries me. He tests me to show me what is in my heart. One of the truths that we have emphasized in these studies is that God's people do not know their own hearts. God will try me to show me what is in my heart. Make no mistake about it, dear one. What direction I am headed in and what direction I need to go in. He'll show me that. Now, Hezekiah, when he guarded his heart before God, was greatly blessed and used by God. Now, we saw this in chapter 29 and verse 10 that we read. We also saw that in the works that he did early in his experience as a king in restoring the temple and destroying the idols of the land. Now, dear ones, God's people need to ever be on the lookout to see when God is trying us and recognize that that is indeed what he is doing. God tried Hezekiah and He will try us to show us what our heart is toward Him. Do you see this? So many of us ignore what God is trying to do in our lives through trying circumstances. Just like little children, all we think about are the circumstances and how unpleasant they are. I've done that. God wants us to grow up. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, "But when I became a man, I put away childish things." And we need to as well. This is what the Lord desires of us. But there is another thing that God is doing here. He also is seeking to prove us, just like He did Hezekiah. Now, what do I mean by that? That God is trying to prove us. God desires to produce more and further obedience in our lives. That's His goal. He wants us to increasingly become more like His Son. And He greatly desires to reward us in a future day at the judgment seat of Christ. And He does this by trying our hearts, by bringing circumstances and events in our lives, both large and small. God did this with Hezekiah, as verse 31 shows us. In the matter of the Babylonian ambassadors, He did it. And we really cannot ignore these events and happenings of life or be ignorant of what God is trying to do. He is trying me. He is proving me with a view for me to better learn my heart and to bring about a submission to His will and to His way. Okay, let's take what we have learned in the Old Testament concerning King Hezekiah and his heart before God, and see what we can learn from the New Testament in the book of Revelation. Turn over to the book of Revelation, and we will end with this. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Now, these words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, to an assembly. And we do need to understand that these words were to a local New Testament assembly composed of His own blood-bought children. They weren't religious practitioners. They were God's people. If they were not, He would not have talked to them in this manner. But what was the problem that would demand that our Lord Jesus Christ would speak in such scathing terms to His own people? Notice the problem in verse 15 and 16. The Lord says, "You are neither cold or hot. You are lukewarm, and I will spew you out of my mouth." Well, that was the overall problem, but notice in verse 17 why and what caused this terrible lukewarmness. Verse 17 says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Now I want you to notice very carefully what the Lord said here. He said, "You say," the Laodicean Christians say, "you have need of nothing." Now, their material wealth entered into this. Just like Hezekiah, God had blessed them materially. Just like He has done for us. Now, you might not think that you have much materially. But in this country, in the times that we are living in, we are tremendously blessed by God. Whether we acknowledge that or recognize that or not, it's the truth. But we do need to understand that wealth was not the cause of this assembly's problem. Instead, it was the attitude of the heart that says, "I have need of nothing. I have need of nothing." What is this? What is this? Is it not self-complacency? Is it not self-sufficiency? Two things, self-complacency and self-sufficiency, dear ones, these two things are the fruit of a lifted up heart. Pride. Now, where does this attitude of heart ultimately lead? I have need of nothing. Where does this attitude like that, where does it ultimately lead? I have need of nothing. It leads to complacency. It leads to a comfortableness with my situation. I am complacent and I am comfortable with my personal Christian walk. And as Laodicea illustrates to us, it leads to complacency in the corporate assembly as well. Now, here is the insidiousness of this whole matter. We do not think, nor are we aware, that we have this form of pride. And this is no external observation I'm making here. Notice what the Lord called them in verse 17. He says in verse 17, among the other sad descriptives there that He used, is the word blind. You art blind. Now, this is very important. When I am complacent, when I am self-complacent, I become blind. I am blind to that condition of complacency. And I have very little need from the Lord. Sin always blinds. We have seen this over and over in our earlier studies. But this blindness doesn't have to be permanent. We can do something about this. And I want you to note this carefully. This is why at the end of verse 18, the Lord tells these Christians, "And anoint thine eyes with eye salve." Why? So that you may see. They're blind, right? What do? Put eye salve on your eyes. Why? So that you can see. Now, what is the Lord's cure for this self-complacent blindness? What is the eye salve that He is referring to that is needed? Verses 19 and 20 tell us, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Do you remember verse 31 of 2 Chronicles? You remember it says, God left Hezekiah to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Remember, God already knew Hezekiah's heart. He tried him so that Hezekiah would know his own heart. What does it say here in Revelation concerning these lukewarm Christians? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Dear ones, if there is any lukewarmness in my heart or in the heart of the assembly, our Lord will try me, He will prove me, He will rebuke me, and He will chasten me. Now, this is the truth of the Word of God. Now, we Christians are so much like our brother Hezekiah. But we can depend on the great truth that my Savior will try me to get rid of any complacency, any self-sufficiency, and any attitude of comfortableness in my heart. He'll do that. And dear Christians, we'd better reach for the ISAF. We'd better reach for the ISAF. We need to search our hearts for spiritual blindness. And we need to do as Hezekiah did in verse 26. You remember what it said in verse 26 of 2 Chronicles? It said, notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the lifting up of his heart. The Lord's words here to this group of Christians was the same. He said, be zealous, therefore, and repent. This is the eye salve that we are to anoint our eyes with. And it says in verse 20, he says, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man will hear my voice and will open that door, the door of his heart, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. But I want you to notice in verse 20 it says, if any man hear my voice. Now, many times we have difficulty hearing the Lord's voice because we have refused to judge our hearts. However, if we will listen to our risen head, we can then take action and open the door of my heart. And He indeed will come in and fellowship with me and I with Him. Now remember, dear ones, unbelievers aren't the only ones that are called to repent in the Bible. God's children are too, as well. Let us learn the lessons of King Hezekiah. And let us learn the lesson of the Laodiceans. If we will, God will bless us. He will use us. And we will see fruit born for His glory. And not only that, we will even see reward at that coming judgment seat of Christ. I pray that it will be so for each one of us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we have examined things in Thy Word which convict us. We understand that they are words of truth. For Thy Word is truth. You seek us, Lord, to open our ears and to listen, to hear. Lord, You would desire us to examine our hearts and judge them before Thee. And, O God, You have promised blessing and fruit beyond anything that we would ever realize. We have seen what You could do with a man like Hezekiah. how you used him greatly in the life of the children of Israel. The greatness of his stature as a man was reflected in his heart. And his downfall as a child of God was reflected in his heart as well. Dear God, we would pray for our hearts that we would not be as these Laodiceans. I have need of nothing. Deliver us from that. Dear God, we commit our way to Thee. We thank Thee for the engrafted Word. We pray that Thy Spirit would use it in our hearts for the glory and the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.